Welcome to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. Today, we were at the Town Square Coffee House in Orange City, Iowa. We were there to hold a community roundtable to talk about the recent controversy surrounding some books at the Orange City Public Library. These children's books discuss issues that are pertinent to LGBTQ families. A member of the community put forth a petition calling for the books to be removed or relabeled because he felt they weren't appropriate for children in this community. Hundreds of people have signed that petition online. The Sioux County Conservatives have gotten behind the measure to either remove the books from the library or to label them differently. The petition also asked the library to hold public discussions before new materials on LGBTQ topics are acquired. In response, other community members, including OC Pride, LGBTQ Pride Group, support keeping the books in the library free of any special labels. At a library board meeting last week, at least 100 community members crowded into the boardroom and voiced their opinions for and against the petition. Since then, the petition has gained national media attention. Today, we are here at the Town Square Coffee House, and I have several people from the community. One of them is Bonnie Reinders.
Yes.
And you are a member of the Sioux County Conservatives.
I am. But I should clarify that today, although I was asked to speak by them, I am representing only myself.
Only yourself. Well, that's fine. I'm glad to have you here. Ryan Purs, you're the pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church here in Orange City. And how long have you been here?
I've lived here 7 years.
Seven years. Okay. Good. I'm glad you're here. Mike Gull, he is with the group OC Pride, and his husband, David Klenert. Thank you guys, both of you, for coming.
It's good to be here, Mary.
So what I wanted to do is sort of talk about how everyone first heard about these books and how this kind of started. Bonnie, can I start with you? When did you first hear about this situation?
And I'm not sure.
Was it when the petition came up?
I think so.
You think so? Okay. And was it something that you immediately found concerning? Is it?
What I found concerning was the way that it becomes difficult to discuss something when it is presented in such a polarizing way. Like when the word censorship is thrown around, all of a sudden if you say anything about any book, then you are a censor. So I think that's what got my interest, was simply saying, is there a different way to frame this so that instead of it being polarizing and divisive, it'll bring us to a place where we can agree on some things.
So are you thinking of the meeting, the board meeting last week when all the people showed up?
Others might disagree. I had no idea what to expect, and I had no idea that anybody would be allowed to speak. So when we were told we could, I signed up and therefore spontaneously spoke. It seemed to me like that was a venue for expressing personal beliefs and opinions and values, which pretty much everybody did, without ever discussing, and now what?
Now, Mike, you were there.
I was.
And you spoke.
I did speak. I think most of us have known that there have been pro and anti-LGBTQ books in the library for some time, years in fact. Actually, we found out that the queer community is underrepresented in Orange City. So, you know, a few books that are pro queer people or show representation just really seem like a flash in the pan. I can't speak for Dave, but I know it's great to see representation in books. And so that's what I spoke to at the meeting, that there are gay and queer kids in this town.
Well, there were a lot of people speaking, you know,
right,
on that particular, you know, on that side of it, and also other people who said they were concerned that these books weren't appropriate for children. Ryan, what was your take on it?
Yeah, obviously the community is kind of divided, or it is polarized right now, and that's really no different than our nation. So I think the tone of the community when I got here, it seemed to be very, very much conservative, traditional values. And you asked Bonnie initially when she found out about the book issue, And that was probably about the same timing as the OC Pride event, which I think was a shock to many in our community. Not that people were, I think, were blind that they're gay people, they're trans kids in our community, but that it was something as public and as pronounced. And so that was, I think, the wake-up call to me was that, this is something that is really going on in the community, and people want to discuss it.
Have any of you seen these books yourself?
Yes.
Yeah, yep. I have.
Let me just ask, what was your opinion?
Of the books themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the ones I saw were children's books. And I think, you know, that's part of the discussion is, it is a public library. It says Orange City Public Library on the front. But the concerns I hear as a pastor of a church is, what type of books are promoting this at a very young age? And so that's the books I saw were the ones that were geared towards children, which I think is the larger concern of most of the people in the community from what I've heard.
Bonnie, was that your concern as well?
My concern is that the books contain content that if I were to simply read to you a description of the language used, of the pictures, and of the content, just read it to you dispassionately, you would say, you know, if this were a movie, this would get a PG-13 rating, and children could not access it without their parents bringing them to the theater, buying them a ticket. And some of it would actually be of an R nature, because I looked up the Motion Picture Association standards, and no one claims that they have an anti-LGBTQ agenda, and yet it's crystal clear that those books, if they were movies, would not be accessible to children.
David, have you seen these books?
I have. I've read a couple of them.
What was your impression?
I don't see the harm in having that idea out there. Gay people exist in the country. It's good to have that discussion. Whether a child has two moms, two dads, or, you know, a heterosexual parent, they're books. They're aimed at children for topics children are going to work with. One of the books, Morris Micklewhite and the Tangerine Dress.
That's probably the one we've heard about the most.
Yeah. I read the book, or I watched a video of the book being read on YouTube, and the book came across as more of an anti-bullying book. Like, this kid's a little bit different because he wears a dress and kids can be jerks to him. But then the kids come around. So I didn't see that it's promoting any particular agenda. It's just a kid being a kid and how other kids react to him.
Mike?
Yeah. I also watched that video with Dave. And it seemed like a pretty gentle representation. I mean, all this kind of seems like a surprise. Dave and I are, you know, pretty active members of the community. We provide free babysitting to children at times. And so, you know, like, us being gay people, we're not out to hurt children. We want what's best for kids. And parents can decide what they want their kids to read at a public library.
I think that was the question I had. So who has sort of who's the gatekeeper at the library? Is the question. When I talk to librarians about this, they say, well, we depend on parents to be the gatekeepers.
And I think that's a true statement. When I was growing up, I started reading Stephen King novels in probably the fifth grade. My parents weren't too keen on that at first, but eventually, you know, probably sixth grade, they let me start reading them. So that's where parents need to come in and be responsible for, okay, my child came home with this book. Do I want them reading them or not? It shouldn't be the public library's place to separate those books out and limit access to them.
And Bonnie, aren't these books, they're still on the shelves, is that right?
Well, many of them have been checked out because I was attempting to find some, and it turns out they're simply not to be found. Now, the one book I would like to talk about, because it'd be lovely if we could come to a consensus that yes, there are standards, and this we agree on. Because the book that is most often controversial isn't the one in the Tangerine Dress, it is the two boys kissing. And it's interesting to me that the Alton, Boyden, Hospers, Hall, Rock Valley, Sheldon, and Sioux Center Libraries said unequivocally, we do not carry it, we're not interested in carrying it. And of the 517 libraries on the 2016 census, 43 have it and 6 of them have it on CD. So then the question becomes, is it really censorship to not have a particular book when 90% of libraries don't have it? then it must be that there's a reason that certain people want to have it.
Or not. I did read that book, and it's a really good book.
So what is it? What is it called again?
Two Boys Kissing.
Two Boys Kissing.
Book, Bonnie?
It is the book.
Okay.
Yep. So it was a really good read as a gay person. It's written with characters in the present day, and then it's also the narrators are ghosts of people who have passed away and kind of relating the current struggles to what they went through in their own time. So it's a pretty poetic book, and it did speak to me quite a bit. So.
Ryan, have you seen this book?
I just saw the cover of it, and it's a book that I would probably be interested in reading just to see, you know, the perspective of where you're coming from. You know, back to your question, who needs to be the gatekeeper?
Right.
So I have four young children, and I totally own up to the responsibility that I have to make sure that they're viewing content or not viewing content that we approve of. So, however, the library, whether it's, you know, the director or the board, they have a moral obligation to make sure that the stuff that they approve of or disapprove of or bring in there, they're considering the moral implications and the specific moral implications that apply to this community, which has historically had a strong faith behind it. And so I think that needs to be part of the conversation too, is from the moral angle, is this morally responsible for a public library in this particular community?
That seems to be a lot of the issue here about, you know, which is sort of, what is this about? Is this about, you know, community standards? Is it about freedom of speech?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Dave. It should be more about freedom of speech. Just because the majority of the community might be Christian, might believe in homosexuality is a sin, that it's going to lead down the wrong road. Our country isn't based on that type of majority rule. That's a little more quote-unquote tyranny rule. Our democracy has minority protections built into it. Just like when Republicans are in control, Democrats still have some say. It's that's one example. It was probably a bad example. But we shouldn't be limiting access to one group of people. Say 50 years ago, there may not have been a whole lot of black people in the community. Would we have ruled out any books that dealt primarily with the African-American experience?
You know, I think, Bonnie, I was talking to you about this last Friday and about it's caused some hard feelings because people sort of on your side of the fence feel like they're being called names. And they're being told they're being unfair, they're bigoted, this and that. And you felt that that makes it hard in a way for you to have the conversation.
Well, something I wanted us all to do at the outset, what if we all see a different elephant? There's the poem, The Blind Man and the Elephant, and they each see a different thing and really can't see past their own limited perspective. So I would really be curious, because I've not spoken with any of these individuals personally, to simply have them say in one sentence, what is the issue and what would be your desired solution?
Okay, Mike.
I think anytime you have a situation that's separate but not equal, it's a rough spot to be in. There's never gonna be a majority liberal, forget about that, but even queer community in this town, it's never gonna be there. There are kids that could appreciate this book. There are parents that want their kids to read these books.
Okay.
So that, for me, is enough reason to have representation.
David?
What was the question again, Bonnie?
Oh, simply in one sentence, how would you define the issue, and does that lead you to suggest a solution?
Honestly, I see it as not an issue. This shouldn't be an issue. As a country, we've got intellectual freedom. We've got the freedom to read, the freedom to view, whether or not your viewpoints are the same as mine. Mm-hmm. We can have access to the same material. Say I wanted to check out a book that was saying homosexuality is a sin. Someday I might be interested in that, and I would like to see that at the public library. Maybe you would want to read a book about the homosexual experience and get some background on that. so that we can have a discussion between the two of us.
And then I would be the offended one that Dave reads that. That was a joke, I'm sorry.
Ryan.
Yeah, I'm speaking as, first of all, a Christian, second of all, as a parent, and thirdly, as a pastor. And so all those blend together that I'm seeking to live my life under the authority of Jesus Christ and in light of his word. And so I care deeply about all moral issues. And this isn't the only one. You know, if our, David mentioned about racism, if this was 50 years ago and we had a lot of material that promoted the suppression of a certain race, I hope I would be here having this conversation. So that's how Christians see this, as a moral issue, that we care deeply that people love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so that's, we hope that's reflected in the community library as well.
You're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. Today we had a live conversation at the Town Square Coffee House in Orange City about the controversy over some of the LGBTQ books, children's books, that have been introduced into the library. During our conversation, we also heard an interview from Samantha Helmick, the public services librarian at the Burlington Public Library. She's also a board member of the American Library Association.
Well, I think that the librarian is fortunate enough that she is, or he is, tasked with meeting the policies and the guidelines of the library. So I think that if you go onto their website or anybody's, really, you can see that they're not cookie cutter policies. They're things that have been well considered and ruminated for several generations of library boards and library communities and library directors and staff. And You come to the conclusion that a library collection needs to not only represent the community it serves, but also offer information outside of their realm so that you can explore the world around you. The library's primary task is to uphold that policy and to meet that standard.
The people that would like to see those books out of the collection or even, you know, differently labeled, put in another area, they say that they're not appropriate for children because they discuss issues that have to do with LGBTQ issues, issues children, they don't want children to, you know, have access to.
So I think the library's role is to respect parents' decisions and to not act as parent for these caregivers, and to respect that it is their responsibility and their purview and their role to decide what their children read, not necessarily decide what the library can collect and what the entire community has access to, but to trust each caregiver in the community to make that decision for their own family, because it's a slippery slope. I'm personally a very conservative person. I have creationist leanings, so if I decided that I didn't want every child in the community to have access to books regarding evolution, would we be having the similar discussion? So I'm not sure we want to have this conversation about content, because that, again, becomes a slippery slope. What if I don't like authors that are female? Do we need to put a specific label on those to meet that standard, or do we trust our caregivers and the family to be caregivers?
So you would say that it is up to the parents to be sort of the gatekeepers for their children?
I haven't given
them. Oh, I think that the better way to phrase it is that I respect them to make decisions for their family, as I know that they respect the process in a library to make information as broad and as accessible as possible to help them make those good decisions, informed decisions.
Do you think that removing these books or changing the classification, the labeling of these books, is a freedom of speech issue?
I do. I honestly do. Because you'd have to unpack the conversation and decide what are you labeling them as. It's difficult when there isn't even a specific book that has been originally challenged, so that we can't really have a conversation about how would we label these on content. Are we labeling these based on the author, you know, being in the LGBTQIA rainbow? Or I think we'd have to have a deeper conversation to talk about the ramifications to the First Amendment.
All libraries are important, but this is not a big town. This library is a big part of the sort of the life, the heart of the town. How does a library end up making the decision on what to do?
Once again, I think that they refer to their policy, and they look at that, and they review that, and they decide what's in the best interest, because you yourself are from there, it sounds like, and so you've categorized it as not a big town. And what's really magical about libraries is that they make a town really miniature globes. They have global access to information, and a town that's tiny suddenly becomes grand because they have access to stories and perspectives that are outside of their own, and it gives them an opportunity to purview, you know, to see the world through perspectives that they might not otherwise be exposed to. So that is a very special question, and I think that's why policies are important to have in place, which thankfully Orange City Public Library does, so they can help be part of the conversation.
And that was actually Samantha Helmick. She is with the American Library Association Board. She's a public services librarian in Burlington Public Library, way across the state. She deals a lot with banned books and trying to work with different authors and different libraries. Bonnie, I think that you had a comment you wanted to make.
What I wanted to do, because I raised the issue, was to simply share my thoughts on what the issue is. Because everybody frames it differently, we have to kind of look at those different perspectives. So I see the issue as this. The Orange City Library has acquired, mainly in recent years, materials aimed at children. These include language, sexuality, violence, drug use, and other content that is inappropriate for the age at which it is targeted. So something I wanted to say, and that's where I might be distinct from the Sioux County conservatives who asked me to speak, is that I'm not focusing on the LGBTQ community. I'm saying the content of books has changed so much in recent years that while labeling did not used to be necessary, it probably is time to have the conversation, just like until 1968, the Motion Picture Association of America did not have ratings on its movies. And I went to see The Sound of Music and it was unrated. And why would it be rated?
Well, that actually is a decent point. We talk about the content of the books, the movies, and the music our children want to hear and read and see. I see where you're coming from there. Listening to Samantha, and I talked to her at great length the other day about this issue, and she had read a lot about it. She was trying to point out that sometimes for a library to make these decisions, it's tough because they are having to balance people's need and desire to have access to a wide range of information, and they feel like for them, it's almost like it's better for them to err on having too much rather than too little. So that was a lot of her concern. And talking to another librarian about the whole labeling issue, he said that the only time he sees a lot of labeling is often like in school libraries when they try and label for grade or ability or understanding so kids don't get frustrated and they don't have or there's just content they can't handle. But that doesn't happen so much in public libraries because I was interested in this whole labeling and categorization issue. Well, let me ask, Ren, what's your reaction to what she said?
Yeah, I just keep going back to what's the moral responsibility, both at the parental level, but then at the library. And I do think, you know, we're always making these decisions. That's all of life, right? You two men made the decision to get married. I made the decision to get married to my wife. We make decisions on how to raise our kids. The library has to make a decision on what they're going to have and what they're not going to have. And so I would say that, we do have freedom of speech, First Amendment, but we're still making decisions, moral decisions constantly on what's appropriate and what's not.
Mm. Mike?
I think there's, you know, maybe there's room for discussion, but I feel like that comes with getting to know people. If you're just talking at subjects, you're not getting to know the subjects. And, you know, at the end of the day, it parents, you know, parents can say, check out these books or don't check out that book. And if there's something hot that comes up, you talk about it because you're a parent. Sorry, that sounded more angry than I intended to.
No, that's okay. That's okay. We want to talk about it. Dave, you want to say something?
Comparing it to movies is not a good analogy. The Motion Picture Association, that's what they decided back in the day to do. It's kind of been accepted. It's not a law. So it's up to the movie theater's discretion and, again, up to the parents to decide what movies their children are going to. The library already does classify books by different categories. All you have to do is go to the card catalog, look up the book, and it'll tell you what the major topics are within that book. So that's a valuable resource for the parents. So labeling books, I don't think serves any purpose at this point, because there's already those check guard, those safety guards in place for parents to know, is this appropriate for my child's age? What topics are in there? And then they can make those decisions from there.
There was a case out in Utah at a public library. A lot of these have to do with school libraries, where a parent was concerned because she wanted her son to be able to check out a book. It had to do with a family with two dads in it. It was sort of aimed at a younger audience. And the library had pulled the book.
And didn't they put it behind the counter?
They did. They put
yep.
it behind.
So if any child wanted to check it out, they
right.
had to go up to the counter, ask the
right.
librarian.
You know what I'm what I'm talking about then.
Yep, I read up on it.
Yeah.
And in that case, that's just going to shame the kid that wants to read a book about a different family structure. It was a slippery, it was a weird situation. So.
Well, what I thought was interesting is that in the end, they settled the lawsuit and they put the book back.
Because it was kind of separate but equal, there was that separation
yeah,
that shouldn't be.
Yeah, and I think it would have been a big... having a full day in court would have been a big expense too for everyone, but that's how that ended up. That was just taken off before the discussion. It wasn't really even discussed, kind of like we're discussing it here. That was just pulled, which I think probably was the wrong idea because no one even got to weigh in on it.
Okay.
Just speaking as myself, I would say it's better to talk about it before you do that. So I kind of am encouraged. You know, people are upset about the meetings and people talking to me. I think the meetings are good because people get to speak their piece and they're not being, told to be quiet. And what do you guys think about that?
Well, that was the point of the petition. You know, the petition never said we want books banned or burned or anything like that. The petition simply said, which was the third point of it, that we want a public discussion. We want the library and the board to hear from the community. And so that's what led to last week's meeting. And so, that was part of the, it's recognizing that there are a large number of people that live in this community that still hold to what I'll call traditional values, but most of them are shaped by the authority of the scriptures, and have this moral concern of what's been going on, starting with a Pride event, 6 months ago, to acquisitions of a lot of books, and saying we want you to hear from the people in the community. And so that's really what this was about. It was conversation. Let's start talking, hopefully not over each other, but to each other.
And we agree with that too. We want that discussion to be there. That's kind of why we did the OC Pride event last summer. Was we're here, we're going to be proud of who we are. This isn't the final decision of who we are. We're multifaceted people. We can have this discussion with our neighbors who might not agree with what we do. It's just opening that dialogue out there. The problem with the petition is that it's asking for a clearer separation. The library board, and I'm assuming any of them would tell you this, they're always open to discussion. You can write a letter to them, you can find their contact information. There's a lot of this all blowing up when we could just have these discussions within the community.
Bonnie, you looked like you wanted to say something.
Oh, I was going to say, if the one common denominator that I'm hearing, and I have heard it from each of us, and the head of the ALA in Iowa, is this: parental responsibility. So then I think some of us would say, library, don't hinder us in that. You need to help us. Because unlike a movie theater, which has movies clearly rated and parents are the gatekeepers, the library has so many books and so many shelves that it's unrealistic to expect that when a child goes to the library, that the parent will know what that child is picking up, looking at, putting back. Even a pile of books taken to your room to read is far different than going to a movie or taking one video home a week. It's about impossible to monitor that. And so if we agree it's a parent's responsibility, then my plea would be, let parents decide. And if a book contains content that is deemed inappropriate age-wise, then why not have it labeled, not with a sexually based label that singles out homosexuality, but simply saying, look, this is what is in that book. And parent, if you want your child to read that book, you have the responsibility to make it accessible. It is up to you to decide what your parents see, what your child sees, what your child hears. And the problem right now is that the Orange City Library policy goes contrary to the ALA, which says it's parents' responsibility. When you have unlimited access, you're not letting parents exercise that responsibility, which we have all agreed parents have.
I think, Bonnie, it's worth clarifying that like parents need responsibility for their children, not responsibility for the library, because the library has its own board for that. Parents have to be in charge of what goes on in the home. Parents have to monitor things. I'm not a parent. We have nieces and nephews of our own. We watch kids. We love children. And I get it. You're not always going to be there, but you have to put the work in. So if something's going to come into your home, you need to see what's going on. We can't over put a blanket statement out against the things that are the target of the moment. When the petition was started, it's fine that they did that, but the petition became a pamphlet that was handed out in every door in this town that had aggressive and hurtful and untrue statements about the queer community.
Well, didn't the man who started it said he withdrew his support from it?
Right.
Because of that, because it wasn't his intention to have all that other stuff on there. Is that right?
That's what we believe, yeah.
He also sought out the help of that group.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, I have a kid who's almost 9, and with those two and her and her friends, they're always online. They have these, you know, they play games. They have YouTube videos they watch. It's almost like you have to have one ear on them at all times. I have to say, it's a big responsibility. And, you know, or if they're voracious readers, like she's read through, you know, two of the Hunger Games books. It was like, well, should she watch the movie? I don't know. You know, because it's a different thing. I don't know if that would be appropriate for her. Mm-hmm. So these days, because of the media and everything that goes on, they can get anything at any time. I think the world is so different from when I was a kid. Yeah. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, so I have 4 children, too. The oldest just turns 12 today. And we are constant consumers of the Orange City Public Library. My kids are also voracious readers. I am. And I've read the adult books that argue for same-sex relationships. So, you know, I've checked them out. I've read them. I've read the other perspective. But so, like you said, Mary, I'm concerned because we sometimes unleash our kids in the library for an hour.
Right.
And they pick up, you know, 20 or 30 books.
Yeah.
And we don't have time to go through every one. And so that is, as a parent, that's really my concern for my own children, is just like you said, with technology. There's just not enough time. There's not enough hours in a day to see every single thing that they're looking at.
It's true. It's true. And sometimes I'll hear something and I'll hear them discuss something like, well, and then one of the more ridiculous ones is that my friend's mom told her that when she was 16, she could start using 4-letter words. And I said, now that can't be true. So they say a lot of silly things. Yeah. you're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. We are here at the coffee house here in Orange City, the Town Square Coffee House. We're talking about the controversy over the library books, the LGBT, most of them, the books for children in the library. A couple of them, in particular, there was a petition that had been brought up and to remove the books or label the books differently. In a big meeting last week at the board, the library board. Another one is coming up next month, I believe, in March. And I was talking to the Iowa Library Association people. They said they were going to try and get some people to come up. They're very interested in what's going on with this. So, and we have a lot of people here at the coffee house. They had some questions. Let's see. I want to make sure that I get to these. As a Christian parent of 4 children that use the library regularly, these materials are not offensive to me, but rather helpful. As a patron, don't I get to be represented as much as Bonnie or Ryan? So there's a Christian parent who says they are glad to have them. Another one, I've heard a lot of people talking about targeting youth. Do you have any examples of a young person becoming gay after reading a book about homosexuality, or is it just the normalization of the topic or an issue. Ryan, what do you think about that?
I think the person's asking, do I know personally somebody who's read a book? No, I have gay friends, but that's not the trajectory of how they went about it. It was different than that. But I can't say I know of a single person that. But we're constantly, everything we read is shaping our worldview. It's shaping the narrative of how we view reality. So it all contributes, right? They don't have to read that specific book, but it's part of how we're seeing reality.
Mike? If I may speak for all people in the queer community, we don't become queer by reading books. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Another person said, how do the Sioux County conservatives and the religious community deal with the fact that the LGBTQ community's higher depression and suicide rate stems from, this person says, largely from discrimination? I don't know if...
I would say, as a pastor, that's not true just in one specific category of people. That's a broken humanity that needs desperately to know God and the love of Jesus Christ. So that's not just specific to one targeted community. That's a human problem.
I can speak to that.
Okay.
When I was in my teens, I tried not to be gay. I sought out conversion therapy. I sought out counseling and read the materials. Exodus International was an organization then. It has now been disbanded because it doesn't work. I was almost attempted suicide in that time. I never have felt more empty in my life. So now, knowing who I am, loving myself, taking care of myself, I am in such a great place. So I can resonate that that's a true statement. There is discrimination. When you label something as a sin or bad, kids don't know the difference, you know, or between subtle issues. It's just bad. So the kids that are bad, and that just rolls down.
I do think, after subbing a lot in schools, and I see the kids in the library, they tend to gravitate toward books they have an interest in, they have a question about. I wonder, and this is not a value judgment, I wonder if kids that feel like they need information about this or they need some support about this would gravitate toward books about LGBTQ experiences because they have a need. That would might be the case.
It could potentially be life-saving.
Okay.
I mentioned at the meeting these, you know, having books there would prevent therapy bills, and that is no joke at all. Seeing yourself out there reflected in other people in literature, that is life-saving.
This one person says, as a parent, I am aware of many books that contain content I don't want to expose my children to, and that's why I spend a very significant amount of time reviewing books. I'm not, however, offended by books that positively portray the spectrum of sexuality, and I don't want them to see those books as different. If we separate one group of books, that one group doesn't like, who should get to decide what is separate? And I think that's kind of been a big part of this issue, like who will get to decide.
Well, I can address that because I did some research. So the Motion Picture Association of America has 8 parents whose kids are ages 5 to 17 sit down with a tally and mark what's in a movie. So it's obviously very possible to do. So then the movie, you're not making a value judgment that a movie is good or bad. You're simply saying, reality check, this is what is in it. And so that's very doable. And I have to say, too, there would not be a large number of materials, I don't think, that anybody would think required review. And it would simply be, heads up, this is what is here. Because I've had parents tell me, with tears in their eyes, that their child picked up something that they thought that child should not have had any business seeing. And the problem is that we cannot reasonably expect parents to see everything their child sees in the library, and that goes back to the parental responsibility. It's not realistic to say it's up to you as a parent to follow your child from shelf to shelf. And I'm going to say, commenting on the book, The Two Boys Kissing, what one person might say, it was wonderful and I enjoyed it, that's his subjective response to the book. Objectively speaking, if we were sitting down with a tally sheet, here's what we would find.
Okay, have you read the entire book, though, Bonnie?
I don't need to. because
okay,
then, you're commenting on the entire book, which is certainly fine, because the book is a whole experience. I'm saying, if we were sitting and labeling, I wouldn't say to you, that book can't be in our library.
Well,
I would say
you get there,
that
who's
book
in charge of the labeling then? Where? How would we start?
Parents,
that?
Just like for movies, parents with a tally
and that's
sheet.
That's what we've been saying. Even if your child picks up that book, reads it, you as a parent should have that open communication with the child to say, hey, what did you read? Let's talk about that. And you can certainly give your perspective on to your child and let them decide or direct them whichever way you want to.
I think it's worth noting, too, that there are books in the library that are anti-gay. There are Christian books that are going to say things that are really hurtful to the queer community. And the queer community does not want them yanked or burned or put in a lock and key case. That's going to be for adults all the way down to children. The library is a public place for public ideas. We're not trying to censor it on our end, and I don't understand it on the other.
Well, could I just ask a question real quick? So let's say that you had children of your own, and they found books in the library that says, let's say it's a creation book that said that any relationship outside of a man and a woman goes against God's created order. Would you be okay with them taking that book home and reading it and being open?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We have a
that's
conversation.
That's fair enough, yeah.
And if they were in this community, that would reflect what a lot of other children said. But that's where we as parents would take that opportunity to have that discussion with our child and explain, here's what we are, here's what other people are. In the end, parents love their children all the same. So
I wanted to add I wanted to add that the content in Two Boys Kissing, if it were flipped and called boy-girl kissing and the content were identical, I'd be having the same conversation saying, this is inappropriate age-wise for my child, and for it to be labeled juvenile or young adult.
It is young
depends
adult.
On the labeling. Libraries vary. That would be a problem to me. So I guess I want to make it crystal clear. My objection is not with a particular lifestyle. It is with actual content. And I'm going to read just a bit of what it's in, because he got to talk about how he liked the book. Here's what's in it. Violent scenes, suggestive sexting, which most parents don't approve of, sexting, descriptions of sexual arousal, passionate kissing, the F word, hateful anti-gay language, which I also oppose, information about how AIDS is caused, its symptoms, its treatments, its outcomes. If we switched it, and then it were a man and a woman, and it was how you get sexually transmitted diseases, I would feel the very same way. It's not an anti-gay thing to say that books should not be available to our children without parental input.
Counter comment?
Yes, Mike.
There are books, and probably a zillion books, with those same descriptors in the library for hetero, cisgendered children. And no parents have freaked out about them until now. That's what seems like the odd line.
We're right now at the Town Square Coffee House in Orange City. We've been talking this afternoon about the controversy over some LGBTQ books for children in the public library here. There was a petition to try and say we maybe should remove the books, we should categorize the books differently. There's been at least one public meeting. There's going to be another public meeting coming up this month, whether in March. I guess this is the last day of February. A lot of people say they are going to be there. We have a few minutes left to sort of go around and kind of wrap it up. And I guess, I just want to say I'm talking to Bonnie Reinders. She is for taking a second look at those books. Ryan Paris, he's a pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Orange City. Mike Gall with the group OC Pride, also with the group OC Pride, his husband, David Klinert, is here. And I just wanted to kind of go around and give everyone a chance to sort of, I would like to ask you, what do you think should happen as we go forward in this community where there's so many divisions and people so sharply divided over this issue? And I'll start with Mike.
I think what we're hearing in meetings and time again is the word agenda. An agenda is being used as a pejorative. And I don't know what some Christian or people's view is of the gay agenda. I know mine, it's probably eating brunch and playing video games. But if you don't get to know the people that you are concerned about, you're kind of off base. It's not an approach that has a lot of love to it.
David?
I'm not sure what to say as like a closing statement. I think this is a good start. The community's great about having conversations, not being afraid to speak their mind. And we want to keep encouraging that. Whether you reach out to us directly, reach out to your neighbors, have that discussion.
Right.
As a parent, reach out to other parents to see what are you talking about with your children. Talk to your children, see what they're doing. Be open-minded and loving.
It's not easy because there's a lot out there for kids.
Yep. And You just need to not be afraid of ideas. Confront them with whatever your belief system is and move forward.
Bonnie.
I think we can agree that a topic that's about as sensitive as sexual orientation is money. The February 12 edition of the Wall Street Journal suggests that parents begin sharing specifics about money, not to their young children, but when they're in their tweens, and giving more information when they're in their 20s. And my closing thought is this. If it's important to not share too much information too soon with our children concerning money, how can it not be equally important to not share too much information too soon with our children about human sexuality, rough language, sexually transmitted diseases, and other sensitive topics, which were the focus of today's discussion?
Ryan.
Yeah, well, I appreciate what you said, Mike, and I think that a lot of conservative Christians have not done a good job at getting to know the gay neighbors, and so that's something that I think there needs to be some growth in. However, at the same time, I think there needs to be this realization that there are a lot of people in this community. We're not in San Francisco, we're in Northwest Iowa in Sioux County, and there are a lot of people here who want to obey the greatest commandment of loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the way that people love God with their minds is through what they educate themselves with and what they read. So that's the moral conviction that a lot of the parents and a lot of the people have, is that they really do want to do this for God's honor and glory.
Well, I want to thank everyone for being here. Bonnie Reinders, thank you. I appreciate you coming and taking part. I know you weren't here necessarily as a member of the Sioux County Conservatives, but you definitely represented some of that point of view, and I appreciate it. And Ryan Paris, pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church, I appreciate you coming, kind of giving us your perspective of kind of what it's like to be a pastor in this town, and we have a lot of kind of raw nerves about this stuff, so I appreciate it.
It's been a privilege, thank you. Great coffee here, too.
That's right.
We can all agree on that, right?
Yes, thank you.
Michael of the group OC Pride, thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mary.
And David Leonard, thank you for coming as well. I appreciate you guys sharing your point of view and letting us know kind of what your feeling is about these books, because I know you have deep feelings about this, so thank you.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. Thanks for listening.